An audit of the Michigan Strategic Fund, sometimes ridiculed as Michigan's corporate welfare program, was critical about how well the agency did in tracking whether it got a return on investments, whether grants to companies actually resulted in the jobs promised, and so on. Joining us to discuss those findings are our Friday political commentators. Vicki Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic state legislator. Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislative leader. Vicki, what do you think of these findings of the audit of the Michigan Strategic Fund?
I'm not surprised. We've had this problem ongoing for years, that the dollars spent are not tracked, the number of jobs created are not tracked, the salary of the jobs are not tracked, and yet the money goes out the door. And this is really serious, because a lot of this money is, and this is not the only program that the Michigan Strategic Fund operates, and it happens across the board in many of the programs that they operate. And some of these include incentives that not just dollars and cash on the barrel, but incentives that affect the school aid fund and sales tax revenue, and that affects the school aid fund and revenue sharing for local communities. So this is a serious problem ongoing. We've tried to correct it with legislation which requires these kinds of tracking operations, and it's still not being done.
Ken, the Michigan Strategic Fund is considered by some to be innovative, a real way to lure businesses to the state and help existing businesses expand. But former House Fiscal Agency Director Mitch Bean once told me it's basically a political slush fund for whoever is governor at the time. What's your take on it?
Well, these special tax breaks and grants to select companies to create jobs have always been controversial. I mean, you know, you have, I guess, a lot of Republicans sort of on the right wing of the party say you shouldn't have them at all because they are just corporate welfare or crony capitalism. The fact of the matter is most legislators and governors look upon it as a necessary arrow in the quiver, because all states have them and you're competing for job creation. But this Auditor General report, as Vicki pointed out, is pretty serious. It basically says you have to improve your efforts to evaluate the economic impact of these programs. And the fact that it had to come out with that kind of report is just going to add to the controversy over whether or not you should have these programs at all. But like I pointed out, basically the attitude has been all the states have them, we got to have them, but boy, you better be able to prove their effectiveness, I think, and over time.
Yeah, you know, I watched the same thing happen in Illinois when I worked there, gosh, 2 decades ago, and it was just growing by leaps and bounds. Every state was starting to really get progressive with this. But, you know, coincidentally this week, the huge Taiwanese electronics company Foxconn told Wisconsin that it's not going to be building TVs there. It's not going to be hiring blue-collar workers, but instead that Wisconsin facility will basically now be a research and development center. And that's after the state invested billions of dollars into that project and its promises. Michigan was ready to offer Foxconn a $3.7 billion package. Vicki, what should state officials be thinking regarding those big dollars to entice these projects?
They should be rethinking them totally. Originally, some of these incentives were established to lure businesses to economically depressed areas of the state. And there were a list of cities that needed investment that already had the necessary infrastructure to serve the businesses should they go in and build the company. Those kinds of tax incentives made a lot of sense. Because it reused brownfields, it helped clean up areas, and it brought needed jobs to areas that needed the economic boost. That was a smart way to use state dollars to incentivize job creation and development. The kind of things we're seeing now are exactly the kind of things that Governor Snyder said he didn't want to do when he was first elected and revamped the entire tax structure in 2011 and said, okay, we're going to lower taxes for all businesses to 6% and we're done. That's all you get. And then they eliminated personal property tax and sweetened the pot a little more. And still, we ended up with the governor calling for incentives to lure Amazon and to lure Foxconn to Michigan. So this is a major problem, and I think we're rightly starting to investigate whether these things make sense or not.
You know, you mentioned Amazon HQ2 and Foxconn. Ken, these offers to businesses are getting bigger all the time, but there are some major money going out on projects like, well, the Illich has got substantial sums or incentives for the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Dan Gilbert's gotten some sweetheart deals from the state and city. Where should we be drawing the line on this stuff?
Well, you know, Foxconn might have pulled a fast one here on Wisconsin. I mean, who really knows? And the question is, I think, for these states, and this includes Michigan, is what kind of clawback provisions do you put into these deals where if the company fails to deliver, you know, they've got to pay the state back or the local community back. I'm sort of in the camp, though, that you can't just unilaterally disarm, meaning eliminate all of these. I think you've got to compete, and you just got to be extremely careful, I guess, about how you draw up these deals and ensure that economic promises that are made, and particularly in terms of job creation, they actually deliver on. And if they don't, they've got to pay the state or the community back. I think that's about the only way you can sort of handle these.
We're going to break format here a little bit because, Ken, you were in the news this week. I want to talk about that a little bit. You're one of the members of a bipartisan group calling for a phased-in gas tax for fixing the damn roads. What's that all about? What are you recommending?
Well, the I guess the larger sort of issue in terms of this group of Bob Emerson, John Cherry, Paul Hillegons, and myself started about a year ago. We were just kind of distressed with the intense polarization in politics today and wanted to show that even in a partisan environment, you can reach consensus on things. And we started talking last June about the road issue, and we came to the conclusion that we didn't have any interest in kind of offering a partial solution. And basing our recommendation on the 21st Century Infrastructure Commission that identified a $2.6 billion annual need to really fix Michigan roads, if you were going to use the gas tax, it's a 47-cent increase. Now, we actually propose you phase it in over 9 years because kind of dumping all that kind of money is just probably the system doesn't have the capacity to prudently spend it, on top of the fact that if you phase it in, it's just more palatable to motorists and consumers. But that's the recommendation we make. It's still that we still like the gas tax because it's a user fee. It's paid in relatively modest amounts on a regular basis. You could phase it in over a period of years, but that's what it will take to fix Michigan roads.
I want to ask you about that because a lot of people see this as a regressive tax because poor people who have less efficient vehicles, who might have to drive farther for work, are going to get hit by this tax harder than other people.
Well, the current situation is far more regressive because the average Michigan motorist, whether you're poor, middle class, or rich, pays over $600 a year in vehicle costs because of poor roads. And that's extremely regressive because that's also on low-income people. And that's accelerated depreciation on vehicles, more wear and tear on tires, repair costs. The attractive feature of the gas tax continues to be that the more you use the roads, the more you pay. So in that sense, it's not regressive. It's a user pay sort of principle. But I would point out the current situation of over $600 a year for poor people paying on vehicle maintenance because of crappy roads in Michigan is more regressive.
That is Ken Sikkema. He's senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader of the state Senate. We also heard from Vicki Barnett, former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.